بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this week's edition of Revival in Motion. It's a weekly program where together we go back to the basics of Islam. We set out learning challenges for all of us so that we can better live the Islamic lifestyle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in our learning, in our sharing, and in our application of living Islam. Ameen. My name is Rehana Umar, and it is such a pleasure to have you join us for this hour. As always, we love to hear back from our listeners. You can drop us an email to hana@radioislamlive.com, or you could send us a telegram or WhatsApp message to +60132608592. We're always on the lookout for inspirational stories and narratives, articles on Islamic lifestyle that caught your fancy or that really moved your heart. Again, you're welcome to send it to us via email or WhatsApp, and we look forward to sharing with our listeners in the programs to come. As we draw closer to another work year, we'd also love to hear from you with your ideas on topics that you'd like covered in future episodes for 2021. So let's begin with our first segment of the hour, which takes us into inspiration and motivation. Today's is a story entitled The Pearl of Peace. There was once a man who was in a state of poverty. One day, he left home with some yarn and sold it for 1 dirham, which is 1 silver coin, in the hope that he could purchase flour. Coincidentally, he thereafter passed by 2 men who were fighting with one another and shouting. On inquiring the reason for their quarrel, he was informed that they were fighting over 1 dirham. In order to end their dispute and create peace between them, he gave them his dirham, even though it was the only money that he possessed. The man then returned home and informed his wife of what had happened. As they were in poverty and required food, she gathered some of their household items and handed them to her husband so that he could sell them and raise some money to buy their needs. Unfortunately, despite his efforts, he was unable to sell the goods. After some time, he met a man who had a fish that had begun to spoil. On seeing him, the man said, "You have goods which you cannot sell, and I have something which I cannot sell. Why do you not then sell me your goods in exchange of this fish?" The man agreed, and they thus swapped the fish for the goods. He then went home and handed the fish to his wife, saying, "Please clean and prepare this fish. We're dying of hunger." Suddenly, while cleaning the fish, she slit its belly and discovered a pearl inside. She turned to her husband and said, "Something has emerged from the belly of the fish. It is smaller than a chicken's egg and resembles a pigeon's egg." The husband asked her to show it to him. When he looked at the item, he saw something that he had never before seen in his life. He was seized by excitement and exclaimed, "I think that it's a pearl." His wife asked him, "Do you know the value of a pearl?" He replied, "No, but I know a person who does." Saying this, the husband took the pearl and went to one of his friends who was a jeweler by trade. When he arrived at the shop of his friend, he greeted him with salam and sat to speak to him. He then handed the pearl to him and asked, How much is this worth? After examining the pearl for a lengthy period, his friend said, I can give you 40,000 dirhams for this pearl, meaning 40,000 silver coins. If you wish, I can give you the money immediately. However, if you want a higher price, you can go to so-and-so, as he will pay you even more for this pearl. The man accepted his friend's advice and went to the second person. When he saw the pearl, he said, I can pay you 80,000 dirhams for this pearl, but if you wish, you can go to so-and-so, as he can pay you more than I can. The man then proceeded to the third man, who examined the pearl and said, I can pay you 120,000 dirhams, and I do not know of anyone who will pay you more than this. The man happily accepted the offer and returned. His money, which was in 12 piles of 10,000 dirhams each, was carried along with him to his home. As he arrived at home with the money, he found a beggar at the door. He told the beggar what had transpired and how he had acquired the wealth, and bade him to come inside. When the beggar had entered, the man said to him, take half of this wealth. The beggar then took six of the piles, equaling 60,000 dirhams, and departed. However, after going a short distance, he returned and said, I am neither in poverty nor am I destitute. Allah Ta'ala, who gave you 20 qirat in exchange for the one dirham that you spent, sent me to you. All this money that Allah has given you is only one of the 20 qirat, and Allah Ta'ala has kept the other 19 qirat in store for you in the hereafter. Subhanallah. So let's look at the lessons we learn from the story. The lessons we learn, I think the first one is that we look at this man who only spent one dirham, but it was spent for the purpose of reconciling between two Muslims who were fighting. And so Allah rewarded him with a reward far greater than he imagined. If the reward for reconciling between others is so great, then how much greater is the reward for reconciling with our own family members? Because this includes the reward of joining family ties. The second lesson we learn is, in order to reconcile between two parties that are fighting, some compromises, some sacrifices will have to be made. If one has to willingly sacrifice his right or lose some wealth to achieve peace, Allah Ta'ala will grant him an adequate recompense together with the far greater rewards of the Akhirah, inshallah. The third lesson we learn is that when the man arrived at home and he informed his wife that he had spent his only dirham, she apparently supported his decision and she did not express any anger. And she then went and gathered some of their household goods and gave them to him to sell so that they could buy food. In this way, she supported him in his deen and exercised patience over the difficulty that they were undergoing. The fourth lesson we learn from this story is, when the man went to the first and second jeweler, they offered to buy the pearl from him, but also informed him that he could get a better price elsewhere. And because the man did not know the value of the pearl, they could have easily paid him a fraction of its real worth and then sold it for their own profit. But because they wished well for their Muslim brother, they dealt with him in a manner that was conducive to securing his benefit and not their own. Also, it was perhaps the barakah of his noble action of spending his only dirham to reconcile the disputing parties that he was guided to honest people who gave him sincere advice. Otherwise, he could have ended up in the hands of some fraudsters who would have robbed him of his wealth. And the fifth lesson, and this is so beautiful, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed the man with so much of wealth, he felt that he should share it with the beggar as well, so that the beggar could also be happy and enjoy the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we learn that we should also wish well for others and try our very best to assist them as much as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and make us of those people who are good to others, kind to others, and to those people who are of assistance to others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who turn to Allah, who remember Allah at all times. Ameen. Talking about the remembrance of Allah, let's remind ourselves of some of the many benefits of dhikr. There are so many benefits to remembering Allah, to making dhikr. But today, we're just going to read through our checklist of some of the benefits of dhikr. Inshallah, it can be some inspiration, some motivation to each of us to say, am I making dhikr a part of my daily routine? And if I already am, what can I do to upgrade the quality and the quantity of my dhikr? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I of those who remember Him abundantly and sincerely. Ameen. Among the benefits of dhikr is that it sustains and is a sustenance for both our hearts and soul. Dhikr drives away shaytan. Dhikr pleases Allah ar-Rahman. Dhikr dispels worry from the qalb, from the heart. Dhikr adorns the heart with delight and with joy. Dhikr fills our hearts and it fills our faces with nur, with light. Dhikr cloaks the one who remembers Allah with dignity, gentleness and freshness. Dhikr installs hub, love for Allah. Dhikr installs the fear of Allah. Dhikr is relating all matters to Allah. Dhikr enhances Allah's remembrance of His servant. Dhikr remedies hard hearts. During this pandemic, many people, many sisters get in touch and say, you know, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of so many hardships on different levels, I'm finding that my heart has become harder. What is it that I can do to soften my heart? And dhikr truly is one of those greatest gifts to soften our hearts. And dhikr increases a servant's witnesses on the day of judgment. Dhikr is a means to prevent disobedience by the tongue. Dhikr is a means to open the gates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Quran teaches us, Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'inna al-qulub. Surely in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. Now many people often ask, where do I get started? Where should I start so that I have a dhikr habit? And perhaps one of the easiest places to start is identifying what dhikr routine you currently have. Identify which is your favorite dhikr and what can you do to increase what you already are doing. Maintain and increase. Perhaps just 5 minutes extra every day. Or leaving out your counters or tasbihs or your date seeds or books or information that reminds you, visual reminders of the remembrance of Allah, so that you are more likely to increase in your dhikr. As for any habit that we want to engage in, the best thing that we can do is to make or put out visual reminders to help us stay on track. May Allah make it easy for you and I. Let's set out that challenge for ourselves that for the next week, we're going to start by increasing our dhikr routine by just 5%. So ask yourself, what do I need to do? What changes do I need to make to increase my daily dhikr routine by just 5%? Then set out with that plan for the week ahead. May Allah bless you and us all. After the break, we continue with our series on Surat Maryam. Stay with us. A warm welcome to our program, Revival in Motion. And we are in the second segment of this hour. It's time for us then to turn our focus to Surat Maryam, the surah, the chapter of the Quran that we're currently studying together. Now, we do have two learning challenges up. One is to follow through with the series as we strive to understand the basics of the surah. And the other challenge is that to memorize the surah as we go through this journey together. So you can choose to start memorizing whenever you're ready. And the idea is to memorize a little each week to make sure that you revise it. And inshallah, by the time we complete the series or by the time you complete listening to the podcast in the series, you will have memorized Surat Maryam. We have a number of sisters joining us, sending in weekly the ayat they've memorized. I usually give them feedback and on their tajweed and on their hifz. Alhamdulillah, they're doing great. So please do join them. It's never too late. If you'd like to send through your recordings for feedback, the email address is hana@radioislamlive.com or the WhatsApp or Telegram number is +6013 260 8592. Now today we're continuing with ayah verse number 38 of Surat Maryam, which reads as A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim Asmi'a bihim wa abusir يَوْمَ يَأْتُونَنَا لَكِنِ الظَّالِمُونَ الْيَوْمَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. How clearly they will see, hear and see the day they come to us. But the wrongdoers today are in clear error. So we are currently looking at Ayah 38 of Surah Maryam, the 19th Surah of the Quran. And now we are at the end of the story of Maryam, radiallahu anhu, and Isa alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us about the day of judgment. In this life, the truth is clear. Yet despite its clarity, people are still in falsehood and have many divisions within the falsehood. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge among all on the day of judgment. It is also the day of division, and this is division between truth and falsehood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. In the Quran, we know that the day of Qiyamah, the day of judgment, is also referred to as Yawmul Fasl. And this is the division between good, yes, between good and between bad. Or the division between truth and falsehood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding of this, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and make us of those who are able to see the difference between truth and falsehood in this dunya. Ameen. In this life, we are all seeing and hearing each group saying that they are right and others are wrong. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us such that we remain on the straight path. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran is enough to know what is the truth and what's the falsehood behind or being told by others. So we don't need to compromise on our faith and engage in unnecessary debates, debates that will take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's something we have to be very aware of and very careful. We are living in a time of fitna, of fasad, where there's a lot of tests and trials, and it's easy for our iman to be shaken. Our hearts, this vessel that we have, is a very delicate vessel. And it can be so easy for us to, you know, be tempted or be in a state of doubt. So be very, very careful on what we're exposing the chambers of our hearts to. May Allah protect us and our hearts. Ameen. So be careful of what's placing doubts in your heart. Right? We don't need to see how the Day of Judgment will be in a movie or the messengers of Allah in cast in that way. No, because we have belief in the unseen. Right? This is what we believe in. This is our aqidah, belief in the unseen. So the ayah begins, أَسْمِعْ بِهِمْ وَأَبُصِرْ يَوْمَ يَأْتُونَنَا. How clearly will they see and hear the day when they will appear before us. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, أَسْمِعْ بِهِمْ وَأَبُصِرْ, about whom? It is about the polytheists and the disbelievers in the oneness of Allah. Now, we need to believe in the unseen matters in this life and not make it visible, because the real vision, the real hearing is on the Day of Judgment. Imagine if we could see the angels in the study circles. Then where is the test? Everyone will attend. Imagine if we can see the devils that are in the wrong places. Then where is the test? No one will go. We need to believe in the unseen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you and I about, because that will affect our behavior. Imagine if we could see the angels on the right and the left recording our deeds, then everyone will be upright. But where is the test? Belief in the unseen is what should motivate us not to see it. On the Day of Judgment, we will see the results of our exam. In this life, the answers to our test should be what? La ilaha illallah, the light of the kalima. On the Day of Judgment, we will see the angels, the devils, the jinn, the messengers, our forefathers, the people of the future, meaning people who came after us, Fir'aun. It's not a light matter. It's a serious one. Our eyes, our ears will be sharp on that day. Our entire life will be in front of us. We will see everything. We will all go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and meet Him. But how do you want your meeting to be with Allah? We will all go back to Allah. But how do you want your meeting with Him to be? It's a huge difference between someone preparing for that meeting and someone being careless about it. It's a huge difference between someone believing in that meeting and someone denying it. The one who belied or denied this meeting with Allah is like a slave who escaped from his or her master and is being captured and brought back. And the one who believed in this meeting with Allah is like the one who's traveled and has finally returned back to his home and family. When the disbelievers see and hear everything on the Day of Judgment, they will confess to their wrongdoings. In this life, they used their hearing, they used their seeing to decrease their iman and to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us hearing, gave us seeing to see His signs. When we see the sun and the moon and the creation, it should lead us to the Creator. Such a need for us and our younger generation to be in touch and immersed with nature. So important. We spend so much of time holed up in our rooms, in front of our screens. We don't engage with nature. We don't spend time in gardens and parks. We don't spend time amongst trees and flowers with gardening as hobbies. And these are such powerful ways for us to gain nearness to Allah, for us to remember him through his creation, for us to be in awe and marvel at the seasons and at his creation. The verse continues, لَكِنِ الظَّالِمُونَ الْيَوْمَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. But the ظَالِمُونَ, ظَالِمُونَ are who? The polytheists and the wrongdoers. But the ظَالِمُونَ today are in plain error. Now previously, remember in last week's segment, we mentioned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them Al-Ahzab, then Kafaru, now Al-Zalimun. Al-Zulm, Zulm is to put something in its wrong place. For example, people are mixing signs with ibadah. People are saying if you prostrate, it releases negative energy. So the intention changes. Instead of praying for Allah, to Allah, and to seek reward from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes all about releasing a negative energy. And that decreases people's yaqeen and tawakkul in Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, often. Imagine someone who covers their eyes in a room, and they're just moving about. And when they uncover their eyes, they are in shock as to where they reached. Can you imagine that? A person who covers their eyes in a room, they're just moving around, and at some point they uncover their eyes. And when they do uncover their eyes, they are in shock about where they reached. You can think of little kids who play this game where they blindfold each other, or they just close their eyes and try and walk with their eyes closed and feel their way around. And when they open their eyes, they're shocked because they thought they would have reached a certain part of the house, but they're on the opposite end of the house. But on a serious note, that's how many people will feel on the Day of Judgment, right? Their eyes will have been closed, covered in this world, but they will be in shock when they find themselves in the Day of Judgment. But that's too late. There's nothing you can do then, right? Books of deeds, the pen has been lifted. Pages have dried, right? They know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have a son. That Isa alayhi salam is a messenger of Allah. That his mother is chaste. They know the truth, but they're stubborn. So they reject it. So they are maghdubi alayhim. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with them. The dhalin know the truth is somewhere else, but they're happy with the way they are, with what their forefathers are doing. So why change? They're just blindly following and being lazy about seeking the truth. So the Zalimun are the ones who are stubborn about taking the truth and the ones who are lazy about seeking the truth. Right? Imagine losing on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I among the winners on that day. Ameen, Ya Rab. It's so important that we make time to reflect on the Day of Judgment, that we go back to read and listen to lectures and collections of ahadith on it. Yes, it is frightening, it's not always pleasant, but we do need our fair share of reality. We need to remind ourselves of that reality we will all face. And with regular reminders, it can help us to stay on track with building and improving upon our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah make us of those people who remember the Day of Judgment as their reality, and who remember that they too, we all need to be turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every state, in every condition. And that we are able to do so, we are able to face that turning back to Allah with humbleness, with humility, with awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remind us of that last day of the day of standing, the day of criterion, the day of division. That day is a reality, and those reminders are truth. And there is no better place than Quran and Ahadith to remind us of that reality, such that when we are acutely aware of the Day of Judgment, we then focus on doing actions. We then focus on living this life in a way that we mirror our awareness of the Day of Judgment, and that we're preparing for that day, and we're preparing for the investment in our Akhirah. May it be a fruitful investment. Ameen. Do join us in the next segment, which will be our last segment of this hour, as we continue with ayah number 39 of Surah Maryam and discover more of the gems in the surah. Stay with us. A warm welcome to this third and last segment of the hour. We're currently with our series on Surah Maryam and invite you to join us for this journey of discovering the gems of the surah, Surah 19 of the Holy Quran. If you'd like to listen back to the previous episodes, starting with verse 1 of Surah Maryam, you'll find them all uploaded onto the website radioislam.org.za. Search podcasts, and then my name, Rehan Omar, and you'd be able to access the podcast to the series from verse number 1. Today, we march forward with ayah verse number 39 of Surah Maryam, and ayah 39 reads as follows. So if you are following with us to ayah 39, وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. So ayah 39 translates as, and warn them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of the day of grief and regrets, when the case has been decided, while now they are in a state of carelessness, and they believe not. As always, we break up the ayah into smaller sections to help us go through and understand the gems. وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ, and warn them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of the day of grief and regrets. So we have been looking at different explanations or terms or titles used to describe the day of judgment, the day of reckoning. And one of them is also the day of grief and regrets. يوم الحسرتي, يوم الحسرة. Now this is the best reforming for someone who does not correctly believe about Isa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, warn them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the day of judgment. Someone who is indulged in disbelief that they need something to wake them up, to be warned. Right? It did not say give glad tidings, but to be warned. I notice when we're talking about the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, we're talking about the blessings, we're talking about the good news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them, then mention is made of give glad tidings. Right? For example, abshir bihi wa asmi', right? They give the glad tidings. Here it's وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ. Okay? So it's about warning. Now imagine going on a picnic with your family and one of your children go really far away and they get close to a river. What would you do? You're going to immediately shout at them to come back because they could drown. For the disbelievers, the day of judgment is a day of regrets. يوم الحسرتي. They will wish they followed Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. They will wish to not have followed so and so. The Day of Judgment is a one-way journey, not two-way. There's no going back. There's no returning. We are all, each one of us, heading in that direction. Everyone will be asked about their own deeds. Imagine in this life, just being told that we have an exam at school or university, We feel nervous, right? But where are your feelings of being questioned and standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment? Subhanallah. That's why it's important to believe in the unseen. How will you know how much you will regret on the Day of Judgment? The scholars have said that regret is equal to your life minus how much time you spent worshipping Allah. How long were you truly being a slave of Allah? The amount of regret is the time you spend not doing your job, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us He created us to worship Him. Anything we do in this life can be a worship as long as the intention is for Allah. Even cooking, cleaning can be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse, the ayah continues, إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ, when the case has been decided. The matter has been decided. It is mentioned in the past tense though, because it will take place in the future to show it will be done for sure. This is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah is telling us this. Imagine if those in the grave could speak. What would they say? They would say, don't waste your time. We have seen what you haven't seen. Subhanallah. But their exam is over. They can't do anything now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided the matter with them, being accounted and recompensed. وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, while now they are in a state of carelessness and they believe not. These two groups need to be warned, those who are heedless and those who don't believe. These are their conditions in the dunya. They indulged in heedlessness. They're heedless about why they're created. They just sleep, eat, work, wake up, and again, repeating the cycle their entire lives. Life is just routine for them. They're not thinking about their purpose in life. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to warn them. If you believe in the Day of Judgment, you will not be heedless. If you are heedless about Allah, then you will not worship Him. May Allah never deprive us of His pleasure and mercy. Ameen. When you believe, you will be alert. That's why any gathering with no mentioning of Allah will be a regret on the Day of Judgment. There is a hadith in which Abu Huraira radiallahu anh narrates that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if people sit in an assembly in which they do not remember Allah or invoke blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it will be a cause of grief to them on the Day of Resurrection. At-Tirmidhi. Our iman is very fragile. It can quickly get scratched and needs to be handled with care. Don't let anything take it away. When a person is heedless, even if they see the signs, it won't increase them in iman. They'll look at the great creations of mountains, the sun and the moon, but they will just admire them. It won't increase them in faith. May Allah protect us. Ameen. We move on to ayah number 40 of Surah Maryam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I, Inna nahnu narithu al-ardha wa man 'alayha wa ilayna yurja'un. Indeed, It is we who will inherit the earth and whoever is on it, and to us they will be returned. Inna nahnu narithul ard wa man 'alayha. Verily, we will inherit the earth and whatsoever is thereon. Have you ever wondered what makes someone heedless? The dunya, family, work, home, food, drink. Our purpose in life is greater than the dunya. It is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will happen to all of the tangibles of the dunya, all that is making us heedless, will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will inherit the whole world. Allah gave us the dunya to help us in worshipping Him. But how often we misuse that. Imagine a school is giving the student a laptop or iPad to study, and instead, the student's just playing games. So the student will fail, and the laptop and iPad will be returned back to the school. All that Allah has given you and I is a trust from Him. Our eyes, ears, wealth, knowledge, health, everything is given to us in order to worship Him. We're not created to be heedless, but to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will all go back to Him, and the sun and the moon, mountains, everything will perish. And so the second part of this ayah, وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. And to us they shall all be returned. This is a reminder that we will all be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be asked, what is it that we did in our lifetime? We will be asked about our health, our wealth, our youth. We will be asked, what is it that we did? We will be asked, what is it that we said? We will be asked how we lived our lives. We will be asked about the choices and the decisions we made. This is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything we have is from Him and Him alone. For all of these treasures, how did we use these treasures? What did we do with these treasures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? How did we use them? To serve Allah? To worship Him? Or was it to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So remember, everything we have, we will be questioned, we will be asked about it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy for us to answer for ourselves. Make it easy for us to be of those who are able to account for our actions, our words, for what we have done in this dunya. You know, we all think we have enough time to go back and rather to do better. But none of us are guaranteed of the time that we have. None of us know when our time in this dunya will expire. None of us know which day is our last day in this dunya. And for that reason, let us remember to make the most of every single moment. وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. And to us they all shall be returned. The deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted for us is not to make us heedless. Islam keeps us present, it keeps us alert, not to be heedless. Our deen should not make a person heedless, but rather make us alert, لمن الملك اليوم؟ لله الواحد القهار. Whose is the kingdom this day? Allah himself will reply to his question. It is Allah, the one, the irresistible, الواحد القهار. Allah is one. He does not have a son. Only he inherits everything. There is no son to inherit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our faith and not make us from the heedless. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. And so we will conclude our program for today, inshallah, with a short dua. Oh Allah, we ask you to touch those that are suffering, give peace to those that need comfort, give wisdom to those that need answers, give health to those that feel ill, give strength to those that feel weakness. Oh Allah, we ask that you clear our minds so that we can understand what our path is, what you intend with our lives, and what we need to do to reach our full potential. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Do join us next week as we continue with Ayah 41 of our journey on discovering the gems of Surah Maryam. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.